Live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Well, thanks so much for staying with us. It's a minute after 9 o'clock. We continue our conversations. 086-000-0959. What I do want to ask you, especially if you are a student, we have been speaking about NSFAS for a long time, and many of the young people have come through, and sometimes it hasn't been pleasant, but nonetheless, we continue the conversations, and I think the agenda is the same. Young people, particularly students who are disenfranchised, would love to see NSFAS functional. That's what it is. We also know that the Minister of Higher Education did a few things, and one of the things that they did is to dissolve the board. They got their CEO fired. An announcement came through about the fact that service providers were going to be dismissed. In other words, we're no longer going to be using, or at least the system will no longer be relying on those service providers. However, young people and students still are facing difficulties. Students are saying, well, it doesn't matter what NSFAS is doing. At the end of the day, we still are stranded. Asive Dlajwa, who we've spoken to many, many times before on the show, is on the line with us from South African Student Congress, spokesperson there. Asive, thanks again for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Pamela, and thank you for having us.
You know, Asive, we are at the end of this administration, and you have been very critical of Minister Blade Nzimande, and you've said, you know, he has not really supported your plight as students who are looking for NSFAS to do its job. And some of the measures he's taken, how do you reflect on those measures?
Look, as it pertains to some of the measures that were announced today, we welcome them, quite so, in fact, for a few reasons. I suppose, number one, one of the burning issues had been the issue of allowances and the payment of allowances. Now, obviously, as you've reflected before, we've exhausted this conversation before in terms of what were the shortcomings of the payment system. From the irregular appointment of the service providers to the incompetence, and ultimately what would have been the greatest injustice, where we had thousands of students not receiving their allowances, sometimes even during the examinations. But now, as we speak, as per the measures that have been announced, there is a clear commitment and a plan for the total termination of the service providers, one, two. In the interim, the students are not prejudiced in the process of the termination, in the sense that college students will be receiving the allowances directly at their bank accounts, their accounts of their choosing, meaning there will be no longer any administrative payments and all those bank charges and all of all those problems we have. They will disappear, because students will be getting their money directly from NSFAS into their bank account. So that is absolutely something to welcome. With university students, they'll be receiving their money directly from their universities. They've got a point of contact at the university. They don't have to look around for anyone if they don't receive their allowances. They've got a daily assistance and services at the university. So they'll be receiving their allowance. Some of them have already even begun, you know, receiving those allowances today as we speak. So as far as that is concerned, so obviously we welcome those interventions there, and obviously we welcome, as I've said, the termination. But there was also another crisis with the payment of accommodation. We welcome the measures, although we can't yet blow the trumpet sound and say of victory as yet, because the process is there. The process, we believe, is a reasonable one, and it should bring about, you know, the necessary intervention in terms of ensuring that all service providers, accommodation service providers, are paid their monies. We have seen that all students, obviously, that even those that were evicted would have since been reinstated, etc. So we welcome those
Can I just take you back a little bit? Because I think this is where the contentious issue lies. That when there was that very, on the onset, there was a consultative process between yourselves as students and the Department of Higher Education and universities, I'm told. There was consensus that there needs to be a reform of sorts. Things do need to change. And then, unfortunately, we find ourselves here where even as you had agreed as a collective to what needs to change, things were implemented in such a way that it disenfranchised students. Let's just talk through the thinking behind why it was so necessary to reform the structure of how students were paid.
Okay, that's a very important question. So, a few things. The first one, we had to reform, the structure had to be reformed to deal with a few issues. The first one, it was to deal with issues of corruption. the reason we termed it was us as students who asked for a direct payment system. I must probably put that as I've put it before. But unfortunately, people, due to mischief, their mischief and incompetence, they bastardized what we were supposed to be a direct payment system, and they made it such that they put in all these service providers. So we wanted, so that the previous model was always indirect, in the sense that NSFAS would disperse the allowances to universities and colleges. Colleges would appoint their own service providers, Some would even appoint other service providers who would ultimately pay students, and you had at least about four stakeholders between the money coming from NSFAS to the student. So that allowed for a lot of corruption. The turnaround time was an issue. We would have students, some of them getting their allowances, their first allowances, only in April or in May. So these were some of the challenges that we were having. We had university officials who collaborated, for instance, with some of the service providers to loot funds and scavenge funds from students whom they believe are no longer in the system. This would happen in the sense that you'll remember with the case of the students at WUSU, where 14 million rand was being embezzled by university officials and the Intellimani in using students' accounts. So those were some of the challenges that we're having. So we needed to deal with corruption, and we needed to ensure that we needed something that was efficient, and that where money is, if NSFAS pays on the 27th of May, the money must directly, tomorrow on the 28th, the money must be with the students. That is what we had wanted, and we therefore wanted a direct payment system. We never envisaged a situation where there were service providers that would be appointed, irrespective, by the way, of their competency, size, or classification. We had wanted that money to go there. The third thing which we wanted to do was to ensure that we are able to cultivate and build state capacity to save on the funds of taxpayers, so that you cut out all these middlemen and you build state capacity and we stop outsourcing work that can and should be done by the state, so as to save whatever funds we could have to broaden the pool by which we had been servicing the students. So that was the third outlook which we had when we envisaged and we were relooking and rethinking the issue of the payment system.
In your view, then where did things go wrong?
Mischief, greed, corruption, and brazen criminality.
So
that's those things.
At which point did you stop engaging these other stakeholders? In other words, you were consulted, you agreed, you all saw the same vision. At which point was the engagement halted so that this mischief, as you're saying, and greed could kick in?
It was never halted. The first mischievous act was when the department returned and said, no, we don't have the capacity to do what they are doing now as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have the capacity to pay students directly. Even then, we disagreed that they don't have the capacity, and we objected to it, up until a point where they then brought in the service providers. So this is why, for instance, the service providers would have rejected them from the very get-go up until now. What is happening now is what we had envisaged ourselves from the beginning of time. In fact, when we said that we must reform the payment system. And then obviously, as we say, there were all of these elements. But I would say it was at that point, the cheap and mischievous card that was used was to say to us and to try and convince us that, in fact, the NSFAS did not have the inherent capacity to pay directly to students. In fact, at one point, an excuse was even used to say that NSFAS did not have a banking license, and therefore these were banking operations, which were all frivolous, really, arguments, which we did even then rebut to them. But ultimately, unfortunately, mischief and corruption would win in those discussions.
So do you have faith now? I mean, I know that you're saying that you never believed it anyway. Do you have faith now that the system will function, you know, smoothly with this new plan where the administrator has already said that these service providers are going to leave? Do you now know and believe that the institutions will be able to, not an institution, the department will pay directly and that will be smooth? Do you believe that is possible?
It's beyond faith. It's the only viable option. It's currently working. It's been working from the beginning, I think since from February. It works. It has to work. The one of the university has been in fact, the point is it has been working. It is working. We are beyond the level of faith. And this is what I think, Pamela, we've always stressed, is that the problem that NSFAS are competency issues and really mischievous issues. It's not that these things, even this conversation itself, should be having faith in something as basic as the state has been paying grants since the dawn of democracy. It's not the first time that a state entity has to pay grants. So even having such a conversation 30 years later, can a 50 billion rent scheme pay allowances to 700,000 students a month? It is a nonsensical conversation. It just shows us that we have been led by fools, that's all. Other than that, it's not a difficult issue at all. It's not difficult. It's not the first time the state has to advance anything. Even the 350s that are being paid, for that matter, that is yet another, that's another social welfare system that where people get there. It's not difficult. People who don't have education, who are at home, receive these monies on time without any hassles. So the point that I'm making is that it's beyond faith. They just needed to do what they are doing now. This is what we had said they must do from the beginning, but they unfortunately wanted to leverage on the gaps so that they could amass whatever they believe they might have been able to.
So you're saying that already from a month ago, we are starting to see, from February, we are starting to see some improvements. The issue of accommodation, Asive, how is that going?
Okay, yes. To close that one, as a matter of fact, there's not been a single protest for allowances in the last 2 months.
That's true. That's very true.
You understand? So on the issue of accommodation, that one is a little bit of an issue, because I will term it some sort of a blended model that is currently happening, in a sense that NSFAS is piloting direct accommodations as a project, in a sense where the accommodation service providers are registered directly with NSFAS and they receive their monies directly from NSFAS. Mm-hmm. For the students which they house. And that is not for all institutions. That's for a few institutions that are currently in the pilot program. And for the institutions that are not, the money still goes to the institutions and the institutions pay the landlords. So the crisis we had been having, it was not with all accommodations. Mm-hmm. It was with the ones within the direct payment model, in the sense that there were issues. So there were issues in them receiving their payment from NSFAS, and they had already been on contract with NSFAS from the beginning of the year. So those are the students or rather those are the challenges where that's where we are having challenges. Obviously, reasonably to an extent, we appreciate there might be a level of, teething challenges here and there. And we also appreciate that they did not roll it out full scale like they did with the direct payment system, that it's only with a few institutions, so that we're able to pick up some of those issues and we deal them as and when. There is also an element and culpability also on the level of accommodation service, of accommodation providers, where some of them are working even with taxi operators, where there's a sense to want to bully because they now believe they're getting the money directly from the state, that they can use students as pawns for whatever reforms that they might be looking for. For instance, we know in Eastern Cape there were issues where a certain sector wanted that, they believe that they must be given the exclusive contract to transport these students, and then they pawn students through working with some service providers to evict them and all of. So there is a level of culpability there, but I think what we appreciated there is that one, it's a pilot project; it's not all, it's not the majority of institutions, it will allow us to be able to pick some of those things up, and that obviously, reasonably, it will have teething problems. And as to the question of someone would ask, then why would we even support something like that, a process like that? It's something, again, also that we support, because what we want and what we also envision and still envisage with this new accommodation model is a situation where student accommodation is standardized across the board. We do not have students that are being paid for by the state. We pay $4,500 for someone who lives in a certain accommodation and someone else lives in a shack. So we want there to be a minimum standard. That's why we want all of them to be registered under one database. They must be accredited. All of them must be accredited by one institution. So these are all things that we want in the system. One of the reasons, obviously, also we wanted this in the system was that if we believe that if they are accredited with the state and these accommodation providers, sometimes students, for instance, they arrive early before registration and they are stranded. But with the accommodations that were registered on these portals, we were, for instance, this year able to negotiate with them that because they are having contracts with the state, they must accommodate the students up until a point where they can register. Whereas when it was purely privatized, students, landlords would say, no, I will only open for students once they've signed the contract and they are ready to begin. We could not have such negotiation. So these are some of the reasons why we want ultimately what is now a pilot project to be fully fledged and to work. But we don't want it to be implemented clumsily and when the NSPAS does not have capacity. They must first build capacity so that we don't have students falling in the cracks of the incompetences or the lack of capacity.
Asive Tlanjwa, thanks again for your time. He's a South African Student Congress spokesperson.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Ismail Munisi is an NSFAS spokesperson on the line with us. A very good evening and thank you so much for your time, Mr. Munisi. Good. Welcome to Point of View.
Good evening to you, Pimelo, and to the listeners. It's always a pleasure to join you.
I'm sure you were hearing from students, and many, many times when we've spoken to you as well as the students, you were not seeing eye to eye. Today, they're saying, no, look, this is welcome news, the announcement by NSFAS today, and of course, the administrator is welcome news. Your reaction to what you're hearing on the ground, they obviously are welcoming the movement by the minister and, of course, the administrator to go ahead and cancel the contract of these service providers.
Pimelo, I must say that it is pleasing to hear that the leadership of SAUS, the South African Union of Students, is welcoming the announcement by the administrator in relation to the work that the administration has been doing since his appointment. We do all of these as NSFAS for the students.
Yes.
That is our preoccupation. To make sure that all the NSFAS-funded students are provided with services be it the allowances, be it student accommodation, that will ensure a conducive environment for learning and stay. Because we believe that the student's preoccupation must be to study. Mm. All other things, system in this regard, the post-school education and training system must be able to provide for them so that they reserve most of their time to study.
Mm. The process that the administrator has taken going to court today to really terminate the contract of these service providers, do you anticipate that this is going to be a difficult battle, a breach of contract battle? I know that they are working with the SIU as well.
Well, we know in a cancellation of any, a relationship, there would be one or two parties who might not be pleased because of the circumstances that prevails. We hope and wish that the fintechs must understand where NFRs come from in relation to these contracts. They've read and seen the report that the Werksmann attorney's report and the recommendations and the issues that were raised about how they were appointed. And we have instantly, after this report, engaged with them, but we did not instantly terminate.
Mm-hmm.
Because we believe that we should do it according to law. We should give them an opportunity as well to appreciate where NSFAS is coming from. And that's why today, as we are almost at the end tail of the cancellation of these contracts, we want to, believe that they would understand and work with us. Mm. However, we know that it has not been an easy decision for NSFAS to ultimately come to this conclusion.
Mm. So obviously you already started the process of direct payment. How's it been going? The students are saying, well, look, they've had from February, it's been good so far on their side. From your side, any problems that you're experiencing?
We are happy if students are happy. We did this, and particularly for our TVET College students, because the TVET College students were always paid not directly, initially, they were not even in the payment regime of NSFAS. And when it was introduced, because of the lack of capacity of our institutions, our TVET colleges in particular, we could not, directly engage them as institutions. And hence, for us to make a decision that we use the NSFAS banker as an interim measure for us to pay these allowances, it worked phenomenally well. We are happy about it, and that's why we encourage some of the students who have not as yet given us their banking details to urgently do so, because they are going to miss an opportunity for them to receive their allowances this month. We're standing, Pimelo, at more than 7,000 students who have failed to submit their banking details.
Sure.
Why? In the majority of them, they are submitting details of accounts which do not belong to them. In certain instances, there are those that still supply accounts that belong to their parents, and as a result, they fail, the process of subscription, of applying, to NSFAS. So we are appealing to them that please go and open an account at any bank of your choice so that you can receive your allowances.
So is the minister's view now, obviously, this is after the fact, and this is the problem with after the fact, it's 2020. Is the minister's view now that entire system was probably a mistake?
Well, the direct payment system was never a mistake. It is never a mistake, even at the point where we are directly paying at the moment. The only challenge, Pimelo, that we had to deal with is how the companies were appointed.
Yes.
And that is the issue here. They were irregularly appointed. Mm. It's a fact. And all indications point to that fact. We are, for an example, going to, you know, we are working now on a process for, you know, working with the banking industry in South Africa for us to be able to pay these allowances, including now the arrangement that we are having is with a bank. So we because the NSFAS as a scheme does not have the capability to pay these allowances. So we will need an institution or institutions that will work with us who have been appointed regularly to do to offer these services for our students. So direct payment is still relevant, and we are still going to do it through institutions that works in the financial sector.
But the issue of the payments and the administration of the payments being passed on to students, is that going to change? Because you're saying you will be using another third party banking institutions to assist you with this capacity. They've been complaining a lot about the charges. How are you going to manage that?
It is not going to change, Pimelo. Let me make an example. We are currently using a particular bank that will be paying TVET College students directly into their accounts. Now, that's what we are going to do going forward. We are going to get a banker, and directly through that banker will pay students into their accounts. So currently what the situation used to be is that we'll ask them, for example, to open an account which it's not directly linked to their own account. So it will be a pseudo account that gets opened and we give them a particular card that they'll use to access their allowances. Now, with the current arrangement, they are saying, no, you give us your own bank account. We pay into that bank account, obviously through a well-established financial institution. So we are going to go that route for both TVET colleges and universities. You know that currently this arrangement we have, it's not with universities. Universities are still paid by their, you know, university students, still paid through their universities. It's only TVET colleges that directly receives the money from us. So going forward, we will be looking at how we integrate university students. However, for now, the arrangement will be we pay universities. Universities, they disperse the money to the students. So, but we are moving towards that arrangement where directly NSFAS pays into the bank accounts of students.
I really appreciate you giving us time. Ismail Munisi, NSFAS spokesperson.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.